Chapter 2. Focus. Do you feel like a hamster in a wheel, continuously running but never reaching your destination and feeling like you're not in control of your day? In the previous section, you learned how to declutter your mind and your environment to help you feel more at peace and less overwhelmed. In this section, you'll discover how to sharpen your focus to help boost your productivity. Let's get started. A. Assess your productivity. Are you productive or are you merely busy? If you feel overwhelmed, the reason may be that you spend too much time on unproductive tasks. You may stuff your mind with unnecessary tasks or become distracted too easily. This lack of focus or clarity often leads to confusion and indecision. Creating a time log. To help you understand how you use your time, I encourage you to create a time log and record everything you do during a typical week at work and outside of work. This might sound tedious, but I promise it will be well worth your time and effort. To create a time log, write down everything you do during an entire week from the time you get up to the time you go to bed. Each time you transition from one activity to another, write it down. Make sure you write down how much time you spend on each activity. Also, include your bathroom breaks and the time you spend checking your non-work emails or your Facebook newsfeed. Just by doing this, you'll become far more aware of all the ways you're distracting yourself. In fact, you'll realize how little you spend doing actual productive work. For instance, you may notice that you're checking your private emails or your personal phone far too often. At the end of your week, review all the activities you engaged in. Focus only on the tasks you consider as productive and count how many hours you spent working on them. Make sure you only count productive activities that move the needle forward. For instance, this may include working on an important project or preparing a presentation that could allow you to land a big contract. The questions below will help you see what you could have done differently. If I didn't complete a particular task this week, what would have happened? If the answer is nothing, it's very possible you could have been focusing on more important tasks. What important tasks could I have worked on but didn't? Why? These questions will help you uncover the tasks you may be procrastinating over. There may be several reasons you procrastinate, but often it has to do with fear. The fear of not doing a good enough job, perhaps. Another reason might be a lack of clarity regarding what needs to be done. If so, what could you do to gain more transparency? Maybe you could talk to your boss and ask for clarification. Or maybe you can ask a colleague who is more knowledgeable than you on the topic. Yet another reason might be a lack of motivation. Perhaps you're not particularly excited about the task. Perhaps something else is holding you back and you're not sure what. If so, what can you do about it? What could I have done to make me more productive? Try to unearth a few things that would have significantly increased your productivity. For instance, it could be to work on your most important task first thing in the morning, or check your email only a couple of times a day. Exercise. Create your time log. Use the time log sheet in your action guide and record everything you do during a week. If you wish, involve a friend and stay accountable to each other. B. Leverage the 80-20 principle. The last thing you want is to be busy simply for the sake of it. Most people spend far too much time working on unimportant things, and while some people pride themselves on how busy they are, being too occupied shouldn't be worn as a badge of honor. It is a state of mind that results from a lack of prioritization. If anything, being too busy results from laziness in your thinking. Being able to focus on what matters will make it far less likely for you to feel overwhelmed. It will ensure you work on the right thing and maintain a high level of motivation. Applying the 80-20 principle. According to the 80-20 principle, 20% of the things you do bring you 80% of your results. This rule applies in countless situations. For instance, it is also true that 20% of a company's customers will usually generate 80% of their profits, and 20% of the world's wealthiest people own around 80% of the world's wealth. This is a fascinating principle. Once you apply it consistently, it can dramatically improve your life. 80-20 your life. What 20% of your tasks produce 80% of your results? Which few things can you focus on to bring you better results with less time and effort? To give you some examples, for me, it's writing more books, advertising via Amazon marketing services, and growing my email list. In fact, there was a time when I tried to do a lot of different things. I would run or host Facebook Live events, create YouTube videos, and post on Facebook and other social media sites every day. While nothing is wrong with any of these activities, it didn't work for me. Therefore, I stopped doing them, which freed a load of time and allowed me to focus on writing books. So, what does a productive task look like? A productive task is one that brings you the results you want as fast as possible. It produces something tangible that moves you toward your goal, whatever your goal might be. Good examples are developing clients, creating new products or services, marketing activities and increasing sales, any optimizations that make your business more effective and profitable, streamlining, automation, creating checklists, etc., strategic learning with specific implementation in the near future. Note that productive tasks can often be challenging or scary. This is the reason most people procrastinate and spend most of their day working on tasks that don't make a big difference to their business. It's also the reason people constantly look for the perfect productivity system. However, this is often nothing but a distraction. If you can identify the few tasks with the highest positive impact and work on them every day before working on anything else, you'll become far more productive than most people. This is what you need to prioritize before you implement any other productivity system. Focusing on what you enjoy. When you select the key tasks to focus on, you must also take into account your level of interest in these activities. Ideally, you want to identify effective tasks that you're good at and enjoy doing. This will enable you to sustain your motivation in the long term. For more on that, refer to the upcoming sections Do More of What You Love and Set Exciting Goals. So, what is your top 20%? What top 20% brings the majority of your results? Note that you can use these rules in every area of your life, not just for your work. Below are some questions you can ask yourself. Social life. Who are the top 20% of people who bring me the most joy, and how can I spend more time with them? What are the top 20% social activities I enjoy the most, and how can I spend more time engaging in them? Finance. What top 20% financial activities should I focus on to improve my finances the most? Health. What top 20% daily habits should I focus on to improve my health the most? Well-being. What top 20% pursuits should I focus on to improve my mood the most? Exercise. 80-20 your life. 80-20 your life using the corresponding section in your action guide. C. Destroy distraction. Knowing why you distract yourself. We constantly try to avoid pain or discomfort while seeking pleasure. Whenever we perceive a task as difficult, boring, or scary, we search for ways to distract ourselves with an enjoyable activity so we'll be rewarded with a quick shot of dopamine, the brain's neurotransmitter responsible for delivering pleasure. Interestingly, concentrating on what seems like the most fun activity rarely brings us the sense of fulfillment we're seeking. If anything, it makes us feel miserable and unfulfilled in the longer term. Also, when we keep postponing the tasks we should be working on, we often end up feeling bad about ourselves, which adversely affects our self-esteem. The point is, whether you distract yourself by going for a walk, drinking water every 20 minutes, or checking your emails, the need to do so usually comes from your brain's attempt to avoid fear, discomfort, boredom, or a lack of clarity. To reduce distractions, you must look at the root cause behind them. I believe the main reasons for distractions are A. The fear of not doing a good enough job, B. A lack of clarity regarding what you need to do or how to do it, C. A lack of interest, and D. A lack of energy. A. Fear of not doing a good enough job. You may struggle with a certain task or project and wonder whether you'll be able to complete it properly. The resistance you experience in this case makes it easy to procrastinate. As a result, you may find yourself checking your Facebook news feed or watching amusing videos of cats on YouTube. If this is the case, start noticing it, and better still, start improving the situation. To give you a personal example, I often experience resistance when I write. In the beginning, I'm pumped up and ready to write a book that could help many people. But as soon as I start writing, doubts start creeping in, and I begin to procrastinate. In this specific example, I need to keep pushing through while reminding myself that, for the first draft, I merely need to put words on paper. From experience, I know I will be able to revise and improve each subsequent draft until I'm happy with the result. Then I send the manuscript to the most vindictive editor on the planet, or so he says. What about you? What are you procrastinating on out of fear, and what can you do about it? B. Lack of clarity regarding what you need to do or how to do it. Do you know what you have to do and how you're going to achieve it? When you are unsure of what you need to do, it's easy to become distracted. Asking yourself the following questions will help you clarify your actions. What exactly do I need to do here? What am I trying to accomplish? Exactly what does the end result look like? Gain clarity regarding what you need to do, and you'll be less likely to procrastinate. C. Lack of interest. Do you find the task boring? Sometimes, the task may make sense from a rational point of view, but may not seem quite right to you. For instance, a particular project may bring you a lot of money, or a new strategy could allow your company to grow significantly, yet you don't feel motivated to proceed with it. This is usually because there is a misalignment somewhere. Perhaps the task contradicts your values and what you believe in. Perhaps it requires you to spend a lot of time on tasks you dread or are poor at. Perhaps it moves you away from your vision. Whatever the reason may be, it will lead you to procrastinate, and you may not even know why. Consequently, whenever possible, make sure you align your goals with your vision, strengths, and values. For more on this, refer to the next section, Reignite. D. Lack of energy. Sometimes, you simply need to recharge your batteries. For instance, if you schedule a demanding task late in the afternoon, you may lack the energy to complete it correctly or efficiently. Personally, if I don't write first thing in the morning when I still have the required energy, I probably won't do much writing during the day. Similarly, other activities such as shooting videos or sending emails, especially sales emails, demand a great deal of energy from me. If I don't tackle these things in the morning or early afternoon, I will likely put them off or do a bad job on them, which is equally inefficient. Thus, it is massively important for you to focus on your most critical tasks when you have the most energy. If you experience a chronic lack of energy, you might want to check whether you eat well, sleep well, and exercise regularly. I encourage you to focus on getting these three things right before doing anything else. For most people, there's ample room for improvement in the general areas of fatigue, nutrition, and health. When you focus on interesting tasks, work through your fears, and learn exactly what you have to do to maintain a high level of energy, you will feel far more motivated. As a result, you'll be far less likely to become distracted. Thus, if you lack motivation right now, assess how you fare in each of the following areas. Fear of not doing a good enough job. Lack of clarity. Lack of interest. And lack of energy. Exercise. Destroy distraction. Answer the following question using your action guide. What one thing can I do right now to boost my motivation? If you feel any resistance, try to identify the root of that resistance. D. Optimize your environment. Sometimes the best way to push through a barrier is to change your environment. This may mean removing some people from your life, joining a new community, or meeting a new person who motivates you to change. As independent as you think you may be, you are largely the product of your environment. Your actions, at least to a certain degree, are based on the expectations of the people around you. You may have chosen a particular career because your parents strongly recommended you to do so. You may smoke or drink more than you should because of your closest friends or your environment. Or you may be holding certain religious or political beliefs because most of the people in your community do so. In short, you exist as part of an interconnected ecosystem that is continuously evolving. You influence your friends, colleagues, and acquaintances, and they influence you. When you live in an environment that is misaligned with your beliefs, core values, or purpose, you may find it impossible to take the actions you need to create the life you want. As a result, you may feel stuck and unable to express yourself. You may pretend to be someone you're not, doing things you don't want to do. You might continue working at a job you don't like, attend parties you don't enjoy, or associate with people you'd rather avoid. I invite you to have a close and honest look at your environment. Are you surrounded by people who inspire you to be your best? Do you have anyone to encourage you when things become difficult? Or are you surrounded by people who discourage you and tell you your goals are unrealistic? your environment is more powerful than your willpower. While you may have heard you need to develop willpower, the truth is, your environment impacts your life to a far greater extent than your willpower ever can. To change your life and your actions, willpower alone is often not enough. You must also change your environment. For instance, in the past few days, I've been struggling with writing my latest book and was falling behind on my schedule. To overcome this situation, I disconnected the Wi-Fi on my computer. I made it so that I need to go to another room, look under my internet box, and enter a lengthy password. This might sound silly, but it worked. Rather than trusting my willpower, I altered my environment to work with me instead of working against me. Anytime you add friction, you make a certain adverse behavior less likely to occur. Another example would be to remove all the junk food from your house. The simple fact that you have to go out to buy more junk food will add friction and make it more difficult, and therefore, less likely you'll eat unhealthy food. In short, you should aim to make undesired behaviors more difficult to indulge in by adding friction, and make desired behaviors easier to indulge in by removing friction. What about you? What small changes could you make in your environment to remove friction and encourage the desired behaviors? Now, let's delve deeper and identify the different factors your environment consists of. A. Physical objects. Your physical environment either facilitates the behaviors you seek to adopt or makes them unnecessarily complicated. For instance, removing junk food from your house will facilitate the behavior eating healthy food. In my case, disconnecting my computer from the internet facilitates the behavior working on my book, while making the undesired behavior wasting time surfing the internet less likely. The point is, when you remove unnecessary temptations and create incentives to adopt desired behaviors, you start decluttering your mind from compulsive thoughts and their associated unproductive behaviors. What about you? How can you make undesired behaviors as challenging as possible to engage in, while making desired behaviors as frictionless as possible? Remember, simply adding some extra friction can work wonders. Sure, it might be a little challenging at first, but you will get used to it, I promise. Go on, give it a try. B. People. Jim Rohn, the business philosopher, said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. It is certainly true that the people you associate with have a tremendous impact on your life. When placed in the wrong environment, people who are easily influenced can end up in a very bad position in life. What about you? Are you surrounded by positive, happy, and successful people? Are the people around you helping you become the person you need to be to achieve your dreams, or are they holding you back? People you spend time with influence your habits and behaviors, how early you wake up in the morning, the kind of food you eat, and whether you exercise. Your beliefs. What you think is and isn't possible in terms of your career, relationship, finances, and dreams. Remember, the people you associate with influence your life to a far greater extent than you may imagine. Therefore, it is your responsibility to surround yourself with positive, supporting people. Note that the less clear your core values and vision are, the more easily you'll tend to be influenced by your environment and your friends and associates. C. Direct environment. Your direct environment is the place you spend the most time, i.e., your house and your workplace or school. Is your current work environment inspirational? Does it bring out the best in you? What about your house? Does it provide you with the inspiration and motivation you need to pursue your goals and dreams? Or does it suck up your energy? What could you do to improve your direct environment? Remember, your environment either supports your goals or drives you away from them. Exercise. Optimize your environment. Complete the exercise in the corresponding section of your action guide to start optimizing your environment. D. Digital environment. How about your digital environment? Is your desktop organized in a way that maximizes your productivity? What about your email box and your social media accounts? Are they working for or against you? Nowadays, many of us spend hours in front of our computers, and as we do so, we can be exposed to thousands of ads and countless articles and videos. Social media can give us the illusion that everybody else lives the perfect life, while ads can make us feel as though we're lacking something. However, that's not generally the case. let's see how you can go on a digital detox. Going on a digital detox. Although they can make us more productive, new technologies often have the opposite effect. We can waste hours scrolling through the news feed of our favorite social media app, checking our emails compulsively, or reading the news many times a day. By learning to make more effective use of new technologies, you can dramatically increase your productivity. Thus, I encourage you to reduce the time you spend on the internet and on your smartphone. Be selective about the time you spend, because, as we've already discussed, time is perhaps your most precious asset. There are two different ways to initiate a digital detox. You can either go on a full detox for a predetermined period, for example, 24 hours or 48 hours, or you can choose to reduce your daily digital exposure for an extended period. In fact, I recommend you do both. Full detox. The best time to do a full digital detox might be during the weekend when you have no obligation to use your phone, internet, or any other digital device for work. Make sure you have everything you need. Print maps if you need to go somewhere. Answer urgent emails beforehand, and let people know you won't be available. Schedule beforehand how you'll spend your time. 24 or 48 hours without digital devices can seem like ages in today's world. Therefore, make sure you plan some exciting activities to plug this void. It could be hiking, reading, or cooking, for instance. Partial detox. A partial detox is a great way to reduce your use of social media, phone, TV, or any other digital activities. To carry out a partial detox, set specific rules regarding your use of digital devices. For instance, you might decide you'll only check your email once or twice a day at a specific time, for example, at noon and 4 p.m. Or you might decide that you'll check Facebook only twice a day for 15 minutes each occasion. Also, to avoid wasting time, make your intent clear. For example, when you go on Facebook, you could decide only to check if you have any messages and reply if necessary, send a message to someone you need help from, and schedule Facebook posts for your business page. The simple fact of knowing exactly what you need to do and visualizing it beforehand will help you avoid distraction. I can't tell you how many times I've logged into Facebook to do one simple thing, only to end up spending half an hour mindlessly checking my newsfeed. This goes for social media as well as anything else. The more deliberate you are in each of your actions, the better results you will obtain. Exercise. Complete a digital detox. Do the following exercises in your action guide. Full detox. For 24 hours, 48 hours, or more, refrain from using any digital device. Partial detox. Create your own rules regarding your digital environment. For the next 7 days, do your best to follow these rules and see how it makes you feel.